Yeah, Father, we give you this last meeting in fellowship. Pray that you will continue to give us revelation and light to understand your word. And to have this word written in our heart. One more point that we should cover, which is the number itself, 144,000. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 21. And, Amen. Amen. Yeah. In Revelation chapter 21, the angels, one of the seven angels, asked John to come and to see the New Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay. So I want you to pay special attention to the numbers, because this number is very important. So he carried me away in the spirit, in verse 10, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city. Wrong. It should be just the holy city. So cross out the great city. Jerusalem is definitely great, but it's not a great city as a description of this city. But it's a holy city. That means the real description of this city. The special description of this city that is very impressive is not that it's great, but that it is holy. We all like to see great things and be impressed with great things, right? I was shown the building of the place where Sarah was working, right? And it was magnificent, so to speak. Great. But it's useless. And it's going to be fully destroyed. But this wonderful city is a holy city. We have to be impressed with the word holiness. Remember the 144,000, right? And then it says here, having the glory of God. And this is also a very important point. A church life, Zion without the glory of God, you can forget it. Don't even have to come, really. What are you coming here to see? What for? Right? Don't just be here for the sake of being here. It's not worth anything. But if you come here, what is the purpose? To listen to a message? Why are you here? Really? Did you see the beauty? Or you see nothing? There is nothing else to see but the glory of God. And if you're not interested, well, what are you here for? Right. And I do hope that where we are right now, there is the glory of God. Maybe not in the fullest extent, but at least there should be some glory of God, isn't it? No? Lynn, why are you here? Just to see us? No. There must be some attraction for you to come here. And that's the glory of the Lord. Right. So the angels show John this holy city. And this city, you can see the glory of God. Right? We don't want people to see anything else. Yeah. What do you see? I hope, Mary Beth, you came here to see the glory of God. I hope so. Right. If not, then you came here in vain. Having the glory of God, and her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It is exactly the same stone as in Revelation chapter 4. The expression of God himself looked like a jasper stone. And Zion should be like that. I don't want just to let people understand the meaning of the word. What is the use of just understanding it? You should be interested to see God. If God is not your interest, you can forget it. Right. Having the glory of God. Also, she had a great and high wall with how many gates? 12 gates, 1 at 11. How about just one? Have you ever seen a house with 12 gates? And these are great high gates. 12. Remember the number 12. 12 gates. And 12 angels are the gates. And names written on them, which are the names of the two tribes. How many tribes? 12. Is 12 that important? 12 tribes are the children of Israel. And 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. So 12 is consist here of what number? Oh, you must be a good math major. 3 times 4. The numbers in the Bible has very wonderful spiritual significance. 3 times 4. Right. Now it says here, the wall of the city has 10 foundations. How many? No. What? Really? Isn't 12, 10 good enough? 11, 12, another 12, 12 foundations. And on them, the names of the, again, come on, are you not bored with number 12? 12. And by the way, 144,000 is, how do you, consist of what number? 12 times 12? 12 times 12. Okay. 12 times 12. That's good. 12 foundations. Oh, Lord. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city. God wants the right measurement, okay? It's very exact and very precise. No room for extra numbers, right? No room. No room for couple of inches, no. No. Amen. The city is laid out as a square. The length is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed. How many thousand furlongs? Again? Come on. It seems that the Lord only knows one number. Number 12. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured a wall. How many cubits? 40. Really? Rebecca, are you impressed? This whole city is just composed of 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, and 144,000. Yep, he measured its wall. It's 144 cubits. The measure of a man, and that is of an angel. Now, when the Lord Jesus says that men will be just like the angels, when? Now, today? In resurrection, man is like an angel. That means this whole city is built through the power of resurrection. No death there at all, nothing. It's a wonderful city. Yeah. The construction, it is wonderful. The construction of its wall was of jasper, we already saw, right? Pure gold. And like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. So there must be all kinds, must be over 100, no? How many precious stones are there? Again, well, you guessed correctly. You think it is just coincidence? 12. And 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. Now you tell me, why is it so important, number 12? This number signifies perfection. Perfection among God's people, God's building. Yeah. Now you can understand why there are 144,000. It is not just a number of how many of the first fruits were there. No, but there is a very important significance. Of 144,000, it is 12 times 12. 12 times 12. And God is very exact. And 12 is 3 and 4. 3 times 4. In Revelation chapters 3 and 4, you have 7 churches, which is also 3 and 4. But it is 3 plus 4. It's not 3 times 4, not yet, because there are so many problems there. So many problems in the 7 churches, serious problems. At the end, it's a serious problem, lukewarm, not hot, not cold, lukewarm. And they are poor, they're wretched, naked, fleshly. And what about Sardis? Huh? Dead? Can a church be dead? You believe it? Are you alive or are you dead? Praise the Lord. You're alive. Me too, I hope. But Sardis is dead. So it is just 3 and 4. The Lord is there still working, trying to add himself into them, trying to wake them up. What about a church in Ephesus there? They left the first love. They're not interested. Well, yep. That's right. What about a church in Pergamos? They're worldly. You want to be such a church? What about us here in Zion? Well, let's forget about Zion now for a while. What about you personally? How do you assess yourself today? What number? Are you just number 4? Or just number 6, just a man, number 6. Right. So we need to be perfected, brought to perfection. And it is not just barely perfect. It is a complete, wonderful perfection of God. It's 12 times 12. You have the testimony of perfection. I don't think so many Christians think they can reach perfection because they have so many problems. So many problems. Many of the Christians that I meet, they always doubt, oh, I don't think I can make it. I cannot make it. It's impossible. No one is perfect. That's a very famous saying, nobody's perfect. Have you ever said that? No one is perfect. And we find out somebody, why did you do that? Nobody's perfect. So nobody believes that he or she can be perfected as a Christian. You believe you can be perfected? Well, praise the Lord. At least you believe. Of course, that's why we're walking by faith. That's right. The just shall live by faith. And in Zion, what did it say there? You can see the spirit of just man, period. Just man made perfect. You believe you can be perfected? Have you read Hebrews chapter 6? Right? You have to leave the beginning of the word of Christ and let us go on to perfection. You believe that? You can be perfected? And our brother mentioned, be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. Can you be perfect? Can you be holy? You believe you can be fully transformed? Is God able to do that? Only today. Yes, he can do it when the new heaven and new earth begins. But don't wait until then, because you will have to go through a tremendous punishment. You can wait, yeah, you can. But if you want to reach perfection today, when the Lord comes, there's a lot of work to do. You have to let the Lord work in you. If you're not willing, the Lord will not force you. Are you willing? This is the question. We all saw that there is this wonderful 144,000 first fruits. You really desire to be the first fruits? You do? Or is it just a chapter, chapter 14? This is a question. Now, as you do, you need to grow. You need to be transformed. You need to cooperate. Sorry, there's no better way. You want to graduate? You work hard. Right? You think you can just lay through college? Definitely not. Definitely not. You work hard. And we must cooperate today to walk with God, to run the race. Yeah, you know, brothers just shared this morning, you want to reach the goal, the end, that last stretch. You run the fastest. Don't just walk slowly to the goal. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. No. This is why we need to see. The Lord has to let us know that the time is very short. Maybe you say, I don't care. Okay, that's fine with me. Yeah, I'm not mad at you if you don't care. Right? But we all need to see. If you desire to be the first fruits, you have to know all those short few points in five verses. Is it so difficult to memorize these five verses? Of course, it's not just to memorize. Would you have the Father's name and the name of our Lord, his new name written in your foreheads? The brother said, it may not be a literal name. Let me tell you, it is much more than a literal name. It is your whole brain. It is your whole head. It is your entire mind. It's not just to have a sticker here. The sticker can fall off. But it is to be renewed in your mind, to be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the spirit of your mind write the name spiritually. The ink is the Holy Spirit. The spirit of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of just to tell you what to do if you need it. Right? No. A sound mind. Do you have a sound mind? What are you thinking every day, all the time? What is the first thought that comes into your mind when you wake up? And what is the last thought that came into your mind when you sleep? What is preoccupying your heart? So to have that written in your mind, it is a daily thing. And that is very important for transformation. Very, very important. What you are preoccupied with. What is your priority? to know him, right, to really desire to make it. Yeah. Otherwise, you can't. Sorry, right? I cannot tell you it is easy. No, it is not easy. But neither can I tell you it's impossible. No, it is very possible. But you have to cooperate, because that's the way God created you. He gave Adam the choice. And now you have the choice. And may the Lord strengthen our inner man to pursue anything that you do in this world. I don't care what you're doing in this world. If you want it, you have to pursue it. You have to spend your time doing it. But is it worthwhile? Well, you decide. So what is the most precious thing for you today? You need to make a decision. I'm not here to explain to you about this. But you need to really grow in your Christian life. If not, the Bible says you will remain a babe in Christ. Where is Vince? Well, Vince is in that room. Well, it's pretty cute for Ivanka to remain a babe, right? Well, why just for now? She's very cute the way she is. And everybody likes her. Don't you think it's good for your little nephew? No, I'm sorry, niece, to remain so cute and everybody likes to carry it. That's so wonderful. You like to be like that? Not forever. Oh, what about 20 years? That's not forever. You see, she still likes to be like that. But the Bible says no. The Word of God says no. And the worst thing is that we backslide. Just like the nation of Israel. The Lord wants to have his kingdom there. At the end, what became of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament days? They behave worse than the nations. And the Lord has to bring them away into captivity. And at the very end, they quit being a nation. No, they quit. God gave them up. You want to be like that? We need to be serious with God. You think you can play with God? No. No, you forgot. He is God. He made you. He owns the whole thing, the whole universe. He created them. He's known as the God who made the heavens and the earth. And he's not important for you. And when he comes back, Peter tells us everything that is not from him, that is man-made, is going to be burned away. And what do you have when it happens? Think about it. Think about it, really. Right. And our brother talks about not being deceived. You're right. Revelation chapter 12. The dragon is the deceiver of the whole world. You think you're not part of this world to be deceived? Yeah. When I saw the building that my granddaughter showed me, it was very deceiving. No, When you were walking through there, that's why you took all the pictures there. What does your heart tell you? Huh? Louder. Really? You really feel like that? Why did you take those bad news? Click, 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 click. And you even show us. Wow. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. Wow. And I was almost convinced. I was almost carried away. That's how deceiving it is. You remember what Satan said to Jesus? And he showed him in that pinnacle there, high up there, and says, look at all these glories in the world, and I'll give it to you. You think he will not deliver? Oh, yeah. Otherwise, the Lord would have told him, liar, those belongs to me, not to you. No, it belongs to him. Temporarily, it is in his hand. He is going to deliver it to you. But in his terms, you become his slaves. And you belong to him. And you will end up in the same place as he. That's the price you have to pay. But the Lord is giving you the whole universe for free. Real inheritance. It's our inheritance. The whole creation of God. God has given to mankind to rule over. Don't you appreciate that? And you will be the first ones, part of the 144,000, to inherit that for 1,000 years to rule over as a reward for your faithfulness, to be matured. That's your reward. Don't you like that? No? You don't like it? Okay. Make sure you just tell the Lord, give John So my portion, okay? Tell the Lord, I don't like it, but give Brother John So my portion. I'll be very thankful to you. No? Please remember me if you don't like it, okay? Right, Mary Beth? Yeah, he says yes. She said yes. So, dream on. That is a very good answer. That answer means more than no. No, no, no. 140 times no. No. So we need to grow spiritually. I was talking to our sister this afternoon. You want to grow, you need to eat the Word of God, the precious Word of God. Because the Word of God is God himself. In John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and the Word the Lord Jesus has spoken, they are spirit, and they are life. And then in Revelation, his name is called the Word of God. So you're not just studying the Bible. No, don't study. Eat it. Yeah, eat it. The Lord said in John chapter 5 to the Pharisees, and you search and study the scriptures. The Lord didn't say you shouldn't, but you will not come to me that you might have life. 你参考圣经，读圣经。但是你们不要到我这里来得生命。You have to go to him to get life. You have to eat him to get life, because he is the life. It is not the letter of the Bible. You know, this computer doesn't give life. Although I download the Bible, it doesn't make the computer living. Neither will it make me living if I just study it and I don't come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Speak to me day by day. I want to have a close relationship with you. I desire to gain you. Like Paul, I want to know you. How is it I don't know you so much? I don't get together with you. I just see you at the meeting and goodbye. And then you think I know you? I don't know you. And yet I know you, and yet I don't know you. Okay, give me a book. I'll read about you. Even I read about you, I still don't know you. Do I really know you? No. Because he's a man. He's a complicated being. There's so much hidden in this mysterious man that I don't know. And you think you know the Lord? If you don't have constant fellowship with him, you will never know him, right? John said in 1 John chapter 1, in our fellowship, and he's talking about a constant fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he wants to bring us into that fellowship. He didn't say, well, I'm an apostle. You don't need to join the fellowship. I'll just tell you. And this is what all the pastors think. Huh? You don't know anything, but I'm the pastor. I studied in the theological seminary, cemetery. You have to enter in yourself. Nobody can replace you. Nobody can teach you. But you have the Holy Spirit in you that will teach you. Why do you need other people? It depends on you. We are just here to encourage each one to turn to the Lord. Enter into that fellowship. You have to participate in him. Fellowship means to participate, to take part of it, to eat it. Like when Marina bake a cake, I don't just sit there and smell it and look at it and appreciate, oh, it's round, okay, it's yellow, oh, yeah, okay. Would you tell me how you make it? Oh, yeah, now I know how she baked it. What temperature? Oh, yeah, I know. What ingredient? Oh, yeah, okay, just leave it there, I don't eat it. That's not fellowship. I don't know what kind of a ship it is. But after we eat it, that cake is gone. Where did it go, that cake? My stomach. That's the true fellowship with your cake. That's the fellowship that God wants, because he wants to get into you. He wants to increase in you. He wants to fill your being. He wants to make his home in your heart, right? He wants to change you. He wants to transform you into his likeness. That's fellowship. Otherwise, you can't be part of that 144,000. Right? You have to grow, and you grow not by studying, you grow by eating the Lord, taking him in, partaking of the cup, and the bread. That's the way, that's the fellowship. We want to gain him, and the result of gaining him is to live him and let him grow in you. And that will cause change in you. I have seen and known quite a few people who knew so much, who knew the Bible inside out, but a person was not changed. What's the use? Not only it wasn't changed, he became so proud because he knew so much. And just like what Paul says, knowledge puffs you up. At the end, you are a knowledge balloon. Yeah. It's all in the head. We don't want to be like that. So Paul says, I give you milk. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and not solid food, because you cannot bear it. In the beginning, I gave you milk, but now, after some times, perhaps not more than 5 years later, Paul says, I still cannot give you solid food. Your knees is already eating solid food. Just 2 years, right? Isn't it, Vince? Even sooner, my goodness. But the Christians in Corinth are still drinking milk. And then the Hebrew believers in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, Paul says, with the length of time, you should have all been teachers, and yet you have need of people to give you milk because you're still babes in Christ. Isn't that sad? No, you think it cannot happen to you? You know, we have been poisoned since Adam with the wrong tree. We just want knowledge. Oh, this is wrong. This is right. This is right. This is wrong. Oh, right and wrong. Right, wrong, 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 right, right. So what if you know? Didn't change Paul. Right. So let us grow. And you have to make that your decision. Paul couldn't help them. Right. We have to change her. Something within you must change and says, no, Lord, I don't want just dead knowledge. Not that I don't want the right knowledge, but it's not enough. You want life, and you have to mingle that word with a spirit of faith in you and assimilate it and eat it and chew the cud. Bring it out again daily and pray over it. Call upon the name of the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be a doer. Help me to be a doer. I don't want faith that is dead. You just said you're going to reach it by faith, right? But faith without work, meaning to say without reality, is what? Okay, do you want dead faith? No. So faith is not just believing. Oh, everybody believes. So hey, James says the devil also believes that God exists. So what's the difference? Real faith is to substantiate what you have read in the living word of God and have a desire, Lord, I want that and I want it in my life and I need to see the evidence. Without evidence, you cannot convince me, okay? Everybody wants an evidence. You have gold. I have gold. Show me. You will tell me tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. You don't have it. That is the living faith that we need to mingle it. We need to grow. So Paul in Ephesians also say very clearly in chapter 4, don't be like children, tossed to and fro. Today like this, tomorrow you change your mind, then you change again, and then you're going back and forth. You don't know what you want. And James says you are a double soul person. You're double-minded. You don't know what you want. You don't know what you want. And then you're tossed to and fro. Rockabye, baby. And then you went to sleep. Yeah, rockabye, baby. Paul says, no, we have to go on until we become a full-grown man. We shouldn't remain children anymore. We are full grown, and we have to be full grown. We have to arrive at a full grown man, at a full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it says. It's written. Yeah, that is maturity. That means the triune God in resurrection, through the power of resurrection, will be mingled with us, the number 4, which is God's creation. We are the top creation of God. Mingled together, not addition only, but saturated with him. Let him fully fill us. Just like the wise virgins, their vessels are filled, right? Not just a little bit of oil, but you're not saturated. We have to be filled. It says here in Ephesians chapter 3 that we should be filled to all the fullness of God. How full are you? With the fullness of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 tells us, in him dwelleth what? Bodily. No wonder he's the first fruits. He's the first fruits. Fully resurrected. He overcame 100%. He defeated Satan. He finished the will of the Father. Yep. Absolutely obedience. And in his mouth, you cannot find any lie. He's complete. He's blameless. Yep. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Christ. You want to be the first fruit? That's the way. The measurement should be correct. What is your favorite number again? Wow, you all learn so fast. From this day on, number 12 should be our favorite number. And it's even 12 times 12, 144. And you should add 3 zeros to it. 1,000 times. That means it is full, complete. It's overflowing. This is really wonderful. Our cup overflows. Don't be satisfied just a little bit. No. Just like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, no, I haven't attained yet. Why did he say that? I'm sure a lot of people appreciated Paul and says, Paul, wow, you made it. Paul says, no, no, I didn't. There's still so much I didn't know. And I should go on and I'm pressing on. I'm pursuing Christ. He's pursuing. The word pursuing is very strong. It means like persecuting. You know, if somebody's persecuting, they won't stop until they get you. Are you pursuing Christ like that? Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to do that. Learn this. I want to encourage all of you to do that. Yeah. I hope we all will be like this, that we will be perfected, fully sanctified, saved to the uttermost, perfect as the Father is perfect, holy as our Father is holy, fully conformed to his image, transformed from glory to glory. This is the number 144,000. Okay. Sharon, that's the heavenly math. You're the math major. So remember that number, 144,000. It's 12 times 12 times 1,000. It's 3 times 4 times 3 times 4 times 1,000. Right? Praise the Lord. Remember that number? Our brother is also an expert in number. That's great. But this number we need to have in mind. Bear in mind the 144. Number 12. 3 times 4. Right. Let this wonderful triune God, through the power of his resurrection, to saturate our being completely. Okay? Then we will be part of that wonderful number, standing with the Lamb. Standing with the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Hope we all make it. Amen.